had a wonderful week, and I hope that you were able to dig into the homework. I sure enjoyed it, and just reflecting on friendship and what a friend our God is to us, and then the friendships that he has brought into our lives. What a treasure. And tonight we get to look at the wonderful and joyous subject of friendship, and this is an especially just wonderful topic for me personally, because my friends are one of the greatest treasures in my life, and I'm sure you can say the same about yours. And they are truly a gift from the Lord to me. So it was wonderful to think about them and think about what they have brought to my life, and thank the Lord for them, which I do every single day. But it's been sweet. And friendships are sought after throughout life by each individual. And from that little child sharing a ball in the preschool, or your first best friend in kindergarten. And my mom kind of laughs at me, because after my first day of kindergarten, I came home and she asked me how my day was. And so I was telling her, and I told her that I have a new best friend. And so naturally she said, "What is her name?" And I said, she told me her name, but I can't remember, but she's my best friend. And why my mom especially thinks that's funny is because it didn't just happen in kindergarten, but throughout elementary school and older than you would wish to know. Always getting a new best friend, but never knowing her name. So don't take it personal if I don't remember your name, because you could still be my best friend. But friendships are sought after throughout life, just like I said, through starting at preschool and kindergarten, making that connection with another person, to bridesmaids sharing in your joyous union at your wedding, or to one who will drive you to your doctor's appointment in your older age, a friend who shares memories that are dear to you and dear to her. And the need for friendship isn't isolated to a particular age. It's not isolated to a particular culture or race. We all have a need for friendship. And we have the need for friendship in all seasons of life. Someone has said, "Friendship keeps the young out of mischief. They comfort and aid the old in their weakness. And they incite those in the prime of life to noble deeds." Friendship is a godly activity and relationship. The Lord created it and designed it, and we are made to have friendships. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus would go to an isolated place, not to just be alone, but to be alone with the Father. And then he would come and he would be with the disciples, and he would be with other people and spend time with them. And he even called his disciples friends. As we know in John, he said, "You are my friends," and he says this to us as well, "if you do whatever I tell you. No longer do I call you servants, but friends, for all things my Father has told me, I have made known to you." And we are given instructions about friendship, many verses in the book of Proverbs, and then we're given examples throughout Scripture of what does that look like, and how can we learn from these people and from the friendships in the Bible. And tonight is a perfect place where we land in David's life to just stop and give this time to friendship. And I'm so glad that we are giving time to that this week, just to consider the friendships in our lives and what we can learn from David's friends. And really, in this chapter, you could miss the friendships, because you can see the betrayal and the hurt and the pain that David goes through. And it's possible to read right through and miss those gems of the friends that he had. And we want those friends to speak to us tonight. And friendship is such a huge subject, isn't it? I mean, there's literally dozens of areas and topics that we could go over tonight. But as I was praying about what aspects of friendship that the Lord wants to teach us tonight and wants to grow us in, and what we can look at from this scripture, he laid upon my heart two key ingredients of friendship that are clearly represented in each of David's friends in this passage. And the men that we will look at in this chapter, and we'll look at his friend dear Jonathan as well, the best of friends, each had different times and different years with David. And each friendship, I'm sure, looked a little different. But no matter what, they all had two ingredients. And each friend gave David their loyalty, ingredient number one, and each friend gave their sacrificial love to David. And that's what we'll focus on tonight. So if you'll turn to 2 Samuel 15, we're going to read verses 13 through 37 just to remind ourselves. I know we read this last week, but where David is so we can get the most out of this lesson. Verse 13. And a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, or else we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and strike this city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servant said to the king, "We are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord the king commands." Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women concubines to keep the house. And the king went out with all the people after him and stopped at the outskirts. Then all his servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. And the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your own place. In fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today, since I go I know not where? Return and take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord lives and as my lord the king lives, surely in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be." So David said to Ittai, "Go and cross over." Then Ittai the Gittite and all his men and all the little ones who were with him crossed over. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. There was Zadok also and all the Levites with him bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, "Carry the Ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and its habitation. But if he says thus, 'I have no delight in you, here I am,' let him do to me as seems good to him." The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace and your two sons with you." Those two sons. "See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. Then someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshiped God that there was Hushai the Archite coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, "If you go on with me, and then you will become If you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, just as I have been your father's servant previously, so I will now also be your servant. Then you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel from me. And do you not have Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there? Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, and by them you shall send me everything you hear. So Hushai, David's friend, went into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. And so we saw last week that David's son, Absalom, has conspired against David to take his throne. And David is facing not only betrayal by many people who are following Absalom, but from his very son. And not only was he facing betrayal from his very son and people that followed him, but from one that he thought was a true friend. That was Ahithophel. It pained David's heart to be betrayed by those he loved and by those he thought loved him as well. And we saw last week how David wrote about the relationship that he had with Ahithophel, how they took counsel together and they had fellowship with one another, and how that pained his heart, what he thought was a true friendship, when Ahithophel planned evil against David. And David knew what it was to be driven out, as we saw, for many weeks on the run in his youth, running from Saul. He knew what that was like, but now he's enjoyed the comforts and blessings of life because of God's grace in his life. And he's not a young man anymore. He's about 55 to 60 years old, so late 50s. And that is a different situation for him. Now in David's life, we see circumstances that reveal the truth of his friendships. Who really is a friend and who is not. We have seen who has been around David when he had much to give. He had much wealth, he had position, and people had, they could gain from his friendship. But now, when David has nothing, no comforts to give, no wealth, he has literally lost everything but the richest things in relationship. He has no position, no power. He finds who has really been his friends and who has not. And someone has said, friendship without self-interest is one of the rare and beautiful things in life. And David knew the rarity of a true friend, but he also knew the beauty of a true friend. And while David was betrayed, we see that he had friends that stood by him. They were faithful and they were loyal friends. They would not leave his side in time of need. So we see first the 600 men who had followed David from Gath, and they had hid and run from Saul with David all those years. And they had enjoyed years of blessing as well as David sat on the throne. And now David finds himself in this very low place, physically and emotionally, the hurt and the pain that he is going through. And those 600 men still stand by his side, and they are loyal to him, and they go with him out of the city. And we see Ittai, and he was a foreigner. This just amazes me. David took Ittai in, and those with him, just a day before David had to flee. He's only known him for a day, but David allowed him to come in to protect him, to provide for him, to care for his needs. And although it had only been a day, Ittai did not take that lightly. And he was not going to then leave David in his time of need. He was touched by David. He would be a friend to him. And you see the strength of Ittai's commitment and loyalty to David in verse 15, where he basically communicates to David, where you go, David, I will go. I will not leave you, David. And then we have Zadok and Abiathar, the priests of the Lord, and they were loyal to David. They carried the ark back into the city as David had asked. And the priests knew that David loved the Lord. He made mistakes, no doubt. They knew them just as we see them on the page. But they loved him because he loved the Lord. And you think about the value of a friendship of another person who loves the Lord. The value of that is priceless, a true kindred spirit that you get to talk about the Lord. You get to grow together and you get to pray for one another. And they saw the value of their relationship with David. And we see Hushai, and he was David's counselor. And a counselor would have a very personal interaction with David and a very private place in the king's life. Hushai knew David personally. He knew his day in and day out responsibilities and activities. And he probably knew what many did not know about David. And that's how David thinks. The sacrifices that he made personally for the people, how he sought the Lord for wisdom. And we find Hushai right back by David's side, and then he goes back into the city to be an influence for David's good, as David asked him to be an influence against Ahithophel's counsel, and the Lord made him successful. And we see Hushai. He continues to use his gifting and his strength to serve David. He was there for him. And in chapter 17, we are told that there's three men, which I would just be stumbling over their words, but it's chapter 17, verse 27, starting in verse 27. These three men recognized the needs of David and sought to meet those needs. They provided bountiful food and comfort for David. And they were just willing to give David the cloak off of their back. What can I do for you? I want to make this happen for you. And in 1 Chronicles 11, we see earlier that David's mighty men risked their lives to just get him water. He was so thirsty, and they risked their lives to bring water back to him. And all of these men risked their lives for David. These men who stayed true and loyal to David during the rebellion were at complete risk of losing their lives. If they were attacked, if they were found with David, David would have been killed and every single one of them would have been killed. And these men had to count the cost when they chose to be loyal to David and to stay with him. And I think that the decision was already made for them, because a friend doesn't leave their friend in a time of need. And they don't leave their friend when it's hard. And so David's true friends were loyal to him when they had nothing to gain from David whatsoever. They had a lot to lose, though. And you think about what these friendships must have meant to David. Oh, I bet only the Lord knew inside of his heart what that meant to him. To have their loyalty, to stand by him when he needed them the most. And David would never be in this position again. And they would never have the opportunity again to show such loyalty to him. And no one ever forgets a friend who stands by your side when you are in a place of physical, emotional, or spiritual need. And I know that we've all been needy, and I hope that we've experienced a friend that has stood by us, and we never forget that. My husband and I, Jonathan, have two children, and Harrison is our first, and he's 11, and Amy is 9, going on 10 next month. And I asked them this week, I said, what does a friend mean to you? I just wanted to kind of make it vague to just see what they would say. And Harrison said, a friend is reassuring and makes you happy. A true friend is there when you really need him. And even an 11-year-old boy, even children, they know that loyalty is vital in a friendship. And to be loyal to a friend is just to be committed to that friend. And this is rapidly disappearing in our culture, completely. The idea of commitment is just disappearing. And we have the mentality of try it, see if you like it. If you do, great. If you don't, drop it and pick up the next thing and see if it works for you, because it's all about you. And we get 30-day trials, clothing, we have 30 days to return, right? And 30 days maybe with our phone, try it out, see if we like it. And now people are taking it into marriage. On their wedding day, they just say, I hope that it works. And I just think it's not going to. If you have an option, you're going to take it. And although it's very handy with things to have that 30-day return policy, and it's wonderful to ever go to the mentality of with people, things and people are two different things. And loyalty is just missing. And it is important to have a commitment in our friendships. And I know that we all want that and we have that. So I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but loyalty is saying, I am committed to you. And I don't know what we will face in life, the storms. I don't know what our physical health will be. I don't know emotionally what will happen. I don't know what will happen with our families, but I'm going to face them with you, and I'm going to be here for you. I've got your back. I value your friendship so much that I will fight and do whatever it takes to keep it. And people leave friendships all of the time over bumps in the road, misunderstandings, wrong expectations. But the choice has to be made. Are the storms of life going to come against our friendship and break it down, or are we going to fight for it and it's going to make it stronger? Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, all the time. You never stop. You never stop commitment. And David's friends knew that David wasn't perfect. There's no dropping out when you see a great fault in your friend. There's no way that these men agreed with every decision David made. Their loyalty wasn't so fickle to have a disagreement and that would shake or ruin their friendship. Remember earlier in David's life when Jonathan was by his side, and Jonathan is just the best example of a friend, and I think in all scripture other than the Lord Jesus himself. And Jonathan saw David when he was playing the harp for Jonathan's father. And he was calm and collected and cool. And then he saw him hiding in caves, scared for his life, vulnerable, alone. And he was still committed to David every moment of it. Unshakable loyalty. And we don't allow even ups and downs of our friend to change our commitment to her. And we see in these men that not only were they loyal to David by his side and there when he needed them most, but they gave sacrificial love to him. They sacrificed for him. And with sacrificial love, a lot of it is time in friendship. It takes a lot of time. You know, those of you who are older than me just and have those friendships for maybe even decades, you just know what time alone does to a friendship. And just the investment of that, how it builds trust and it builds that relationship. And we know that friendship doesn't just happen overnight. Someone said wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship is a slow ripening fruit. Wishing to be friends is like buying that bright colored Gerbera. It looks kind of like a daisy, and there's all those bright colors, and they're in the 4-inch pots, and you take it home. It's just that quick gardening that looks so good, and you just plant it, and it's quick, it's bright, it's fun. While friendship is more like a fruit tree, buying the fruit tree, planting it in the ground, it's an investment. It takes care and time in order to bear fruit. Fruit trees need freezing cold weather, hours of sunshine, and plenty of water and fertilization. And we just planted a few fruit trees at our house, and so we learned a little bit about them, just a little. And they actually need a particular amount of hours of temperatures under 45 degrees in order to bear fruit. They won't bear fruit until they have a certain amount of time of very, very cold weather. Well, when we read that, we were totally taken off guard. I mean, just even in the gardening world, like usually you see it needs 6 hours of sunshine, right? That's what you would expect. It needs sunshine. And that really was impactful. And the cold weather produces buds on the fruit trees, which blossom and need pollination and then bear fruit. And the more time given over to this process, the deeper the roots grow, the stronger and more established the tree becomes, thus producing nutritious and beautiful fruit to enjoy. And friendship takes time and it takes care. Friendship faces all kinds of weather, wintry storms, and the sunshining afternoons of laughter, because life is full of both. And friendship is made up of two living people and two living, changing people all the time. So you get all seasons. And the seasons of life only makes friendship stronger, resulting in beautiful, rich fruit for both friends to enjoy. Someone said, true friendship is a plant of slow growth and must undergo and withstand the shocks of adversity before it is entitled to the appellation. Another way to show sacrificial love is to give up our own desires. And Jonathan was an excellent example in this to David. Wow. Jonathan not only risked his life because his father tried to kill him because Jonathan stood with David, but he also sacrificed his rights for David. See, Jonathan's heart was knit to David immediately. We're told three times that he loved him as his own soul and that Jonathan delighted in David. And after David had killed Goliath, if you remember, David was brought to Saul and they talked and Jonathan was present at that time. And at that time, Jonathan committed himself to David and he also gave up his place as rightful heir to the throne because he knew God was going to do it. He knew that God had David to be the king, but he recognized that and he took off his robe and he gave his weapons, his armor to David. And at this time, David was essentially just a nobody. I mean, before Goliath. And Jonathan was a king's son. And Jonathan had men who would follow him into battle while David had sheep following him. We're talking about two different ways of life. And Jonathan forfeits his rights. He sacrifices his own desires, perhaps, to give to David. And David didn't have anything at that time, and Jonathan did. and Jonathan gave. And even though Jonathan may have been a stronger man than David at this time, he made himself nothing in order to make David something. And Jonathan wasn't concerned about his rights as a friend. He lived his life protecting, encouraging, supporting, and remaining loyal to David all the way through. And a very important way that we show sacrificial love to our friends is by simply walking through the highs and lows of life with them. Romans 12:15 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And a friend experienced both days of rejoicing and both days of reaping with her friend. And when a friend goes through a difficult time, she really just wants to know that we will be by her side and that we love her enough to simply walk through the pain with her as long as it takes. She needs our sympathy and compassion. There's no checking out to some degree because it's too hard for us or because we can't fix it and we sure would like to fix it and we may know how to fix it. But sacrificial love is just walking with her through it. And sometimes I think we're better at weeping with those who weep as Christians than rejoicing with those who rejoice. And sacrificial love is excited when our friend is blessed in a particular way that we may never have that blessing in our life, either materially or spiritually. But sacrificial love praises God for blessing our friend in that way and talking to her about that blessing and rejoicing with her in that blessing. Someone said grief can take care of itself. But to get the full value of joy, you must have somebody to divide it with. Another challenging quote is, anybody can sympathize with the sufferings of a friend, but it requires a very fine nature to sympathize with a friend's successes. Also, loving our friends through life rather than trying to fix her problems is a way to show sacrificial love. And I'm sure David's friends felt that they knew what he should do in certain situations. They probably were right in certain situations of maybe what he should have done or how to get out of this mess that he's in. And we may know what our friend needs to do to take care of the problem. Sometimes it's easier. You know your friend so well. And you see it so clearly and you care about her and you just want, if you do this and this and this, you'll be good, honey. And there's a real place to speak in each other's lives. And we know in Proverbs 27:9, we're told ointment and perfume delight the heart and the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. And there's absolutely a place for that. And if we had time for that, we would go into it. But there's a part of friendship and sacrifice that is just being there, for your friends. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, what does she need? What does she need right now? Not how I would like to help her or how I would like to fix it. And of course, what is the Lord doing in her life? How can I support what the Lord's doing in her life right now? And I had mentioned earlier that I had asked my children, what do you think a friend is? And my daughter, Aimee, answered, when you get hurt, you want your friend to ask you if you're okay and comfort you and not say you shouldn't have done that or that's what happens when you do that. And that's a girl, and what she was really saying is, I just want my friend to be there for me when I get hurt. I just want her there. And it just starts, it's all the way through for us. And a big part of life is just being there and just listening. I mean, the Lord, we know he's given us one mouth, two ears. And I think about my friends and my relationship, and I have one dear friend that I walk with weekly, and we just talk and hash out as much as we can in an hour while our kids have class. And we just listen to each other. No one tries to fix the problems, and it's amazing how great we feel afterward. And there's a time like, hey, we bounce things off of each other and that sort of thing, but there's so much just, will you just listen to me? I need to just talk this out. And then afterward, I don't think anything changed, but I feel so much better. And that's what we do as friends. This quote puts it well. A friend is a person with whom I may be sincere. Before him, I may think aloud. And in closing, David wasn't the only king who had been betrayed. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior Jesus, was betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. And when Jesus was in his greatest time of need, that agony before the cross, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. And Jesus said to Judas, as he led the soldiers to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And Judas wasn't truly a friend of God, as we know, and revealed in the betrayal. But Jesus calls him friend because of the opportunity that Jesus gave Judas and the friendship that Jesus offered to him in Jesus's humanity as he waited for the hour that must come when he would be betrayed and led to the cross. He was in need of friendship, and he sought after friendship, even in his disciples. And it was a time where Jesus was sorrowful and deeply distressed, as scripture tells us. And he asked a few of his disciples, including Peter, and he said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Jesus expressed his need for support in his hour of trial. He needed the disciples to watch and pray. It was for them, but he needed that in his humanity to be by his side. And this is Jesus. And he needed that friendship. And we know that when the soldiers took Jesus, all the disciples forsook him and fled. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. It's one of the saddest passages in the Bible. And we learn that even Jesus needed friendship in his time of need. He needed friends who would stand by him, walk with him, support him, pray for him, be loyal to him. We learn that our loyalty means something to Jesus. Our friendship is noticed by him. And we learn that though Jesus' friends forsook him in his hour of trial, Jesus forgave them. It didn't hurt Jesus any less than it hurts us when a friend betrays us, forsakes us, leaves us when we need them most. Maybe you have that in your life, whether it was a husband or a friend, and you communicated your need for that person. That person knew I needed them, and they left. They left me. And Jesus knows. He knows. He knows that pain. He knows your pain. But he forgave and set the example that we might forgive others. And if tonight, if this is a lesson for you where you have unforgiveness in your heart or bitterness toward a very hurtful experience, friendship in your life. Maybe a friend left you in the greatest need, or maybe she just slowly disappeared and now where did she go? What happened? Was it too hard for her? And the Lord just wants you to forgive. And it doesn't mean that they weren't wrong in what they did, that it doesn't hurt. That's all very, very real. But it means that you forgive them. You don't hold it against them. Because Jesus modeled it, because he's willing to forgive us, that we might have the power to forgive others. And praise the Lord for his loyalty to us. That not one of us, no matter what our friendships are like tonight, we all want to grow in them. And we're all in different seasons. And some of us may have a harder time having friends for whatever reason, but no one needs to leave alone tonight or discouraged, because the Lord is the greatest friend and he never ever leaves us. And if you want in your group, if you want a group leader to pray with you or just a sister to pray with you, if you need to just ask for forgiveness of holding on to hurt, to something in a friendship that you really want to be freed of tonight. The Lord wants to free you of that. And you might want to pray with someone so that is just someone else knows about it, can hold you accountable, or just to really mark this date as leaving it with the Lord. They're there for you. And friendships are a godly activity and relationship. Remember, God created them for us to be a joy because we need them. And the mark of David's friends were loyalty and sacrificial love. And may we just grow this week. May we just grow and hold on to these things and just be a true and loyal friend and a sacrificial friend to those who the Lord has blessed us with in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you for being the true friend, Lord. Thank you for loving us, knowing us inside the deepest part of our hearts. Nothing's a surprise to you, and you still love us and have grace for us. Lord, we thank you for your sacrificial love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your death on the cross, that we might be your friend, Lord, and be a part of your family. Father, we thank you for your word that is living and powerful, and we know that you have a perfect work for it in our lives. So we pray, Lord, that it would settle right where it needs to in our hearts, that it would produce action, and that you would just create beautiful fruit in our friendships, and that we would just look a little more like you tonight. We pray that you would just help us to receive and grow and remember what you want us to, Lord. And I pray that you bless the groups. I pray that you would strengthen the relationships and the friendships in this room, Lord, and that you would just encourage every heart, that each heart would leave merry and joyous in the friend that you are. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.